Again, it's good to see everyone out. Always grateful for this opportunity to present God's Word. We just sung, "Give me the Bible." Hopefully that is exactly what will be done this evening. I always encourage it. Everyone open up their Bibles and follow along as we go through the lesson. Make sure the truth is being taught, and that if anything that comes forth that you believe to be taught wrong, you bring that to my attention that we can study it further. Again, the theme of our week is weathering the storm. And this morning we had brought out the points that God controls the storm and that we all go through it. And so if we know that we all go through storms, then that means we all should prepare for the storm. And so that's what we're going to talk about this evening is, are you properly prepared to face the storm? Are you ready for when that storm is going to come in and hit you? I want to thank the brother for the scripture reading this evening here in Matthew chapter 7. As we look at these verses here, verses 24 through 29, he makes the point of, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them. And then the other comparison, as he talks about the fool, is everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them. And he compares them to two people who are about to hit a storm. That a bad storm is about to come, and what where are you going to be? What kind of shelter are you going to take when that storm comes? That's a question we can ask ourselves. Are we prepared for the spiritual storms that we are going to face? Physically, a lot of people make sure that they prep. They know what they are going to do during a bad storm. If there is a tornado siren, if you get into a tornado watch or tornado warning, do you know where exactly you're going to go if you're at home? You already have that in your mindset. I know because my wife told me this is probably where we need to get the kids. Whereas I like to go out on the front porch and see how much I can watch before I have to go inside. I'm not a very good prepper when it comes to physical storms. But we know that there's one room that's away from all windows in the middle of the house. It's probably the best spot. We don't have a basement in our house. We don't have a storm shelter out in the yard or anything. So we go to the best place we got in the house. Now, I'd spent 2 years down in Joplin, Missouri. And anytime anyone hears that I'm from Joplin, first question I get is, was you there when the tornado went through? I was not. But the brethren there, they were. And it amazes me of the things that they had went through. The fact that there's a woman that lives there, and the only thing left of her house was the bathtub she had got inside. Only thing left. She survived. A couple that wasn't too far from where she was. The only thing that was left of their house, they got into a closet that was underneath the steps of their house, that was in their house. Only thing left. Pictures in Time magazine. They have pictures and proof to show they knew where to go. That was the safest spot for them when that storm came. When the tornado came. But do we know what to do when our spiritual storms come? And too many, like me going out and standing and watching the weather out physically, we get caught up and we're foolishly prepared. We're not truly prepared. Not truly ready for that storm that is coming. And so here in Matthew chapter 27 and there, verse 26, if you read it again, it says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against the house and it fell. And great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowd were amazed at his teaching. He brings out the point that the warning was there. Right? That's why it's foolish, is because if you take time to think about it, and he builds this house, and he's going to put it on the sand, and you know that eventually you're going to have to face some bad weather, or you're going to have to face some storm, and if you're by the ocean, you're going to have to face the waves, and that house will not stand. And yet he foolishly went ahead and prepared it anyways. He foolishly went ahead and said, this is where I'm going to stand my ground, knowing that there are consequences to his decision. Matthew chapter 25 gives us another example of some of wise and foolish, that there are those who are wise and those who are foolish, and here often referred as the wise and foolish virgins here. Matthew 25, and starting in verse 1, it says, then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil and flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy, began to sleep. But at midnight, there was a shout, behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the prudent answered, no, there will not be enough for us and you. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they were going away, make the purchase, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him in the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. Another good point, as we talk about being foolishly prepared, that whether or not we are truly or prepared, is the fact, are you ready right now? If we know that the storm is coming and we know that the Lord will return one day, and the question is are you ready? Or do we have this mindset that I have time to prepare? I have time to wait. I can push it off till tomorrow. I can do it later. They were not prepared for when the time came. And they said, the bridegroom comes. They were not ready for that time. Are we prepared? Do we study the Word of God and make sure that we are prepared? In Proverbs, if you will. Proverbs chapter 1 and in verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1 and in verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so we go back to Matthew chapter 7 and brought out, it says that it is the compared to those who hear the words of mine, right? And then does not follow, does not act upon, does not obey what he tells them to do. And so that's what he says are fools. Fools are those who despise wisdom, that do not take instruction. Foolishly prepared would mean that we go forth and we hear the word of God, but it goes in one ear and right out the other. In James chapter 1, and in verse 22 says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at the natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself, gone away, he immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. It's saying that when we open up the word of God, we read inside of it, and it says that you will face trials and face persecution, that Satan is out there like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And we go, okay, there's something I need to prepare for. And then we shut our Bibles. And we go back out into the world and we don't pray. We don't study any further. We hang out with the wrong crowd. We don't ever stay around our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we foolishly just act like we never did read that. They hear it, but then it goes in one ear and right out the other. They are not truly prepared for the storm. In Judges chapter 21 and verse 25, Judges chapter 21 and verse 25, this is a common statement that is made throughout the book of Judges, and it's made again right here at the very end, making the statement once more. It's made more than once throughout this book. But it says, in those days, there was no king in Israel, Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. They chose not to listen to God. God continued to raise one judge after another. But once that judge died and that judge was no longer there to lead them in the right way, well, then they go, well, what are we supposed to do now? And they did what was right in their own eyes. And that leads to death, as we read here in Proverbs chapter 14 and in verse 12. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And so if you want to be foolishly be prepared, not properly prepared, then go ahead and just do whatever you think is right. Go ahead and just follow your own set of guidance. Don't ever open up your Bible. And just continue to think that you are better than the one who has power and authority over the storm. The one who truly has proven himself to have power to deliver others time and again. The one that truly cares about you and wants you to be saved. You want to be foolish prepared, continue to go down that route. In Jeremiah chapter 4 and in verse 22, Jeremiah chapter 4 and in verse 22, again, it brings out here, so it says, for my people are foolish. They know me not, they are stupid children, and have no understanding. They have shrewd to do evil, but to do good they do not know. They do not have understanding. As in Hosea brought out the point, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They do not search the scriptures, they do not listen to the warnings. As God sends a prophet after another, a judge or a king to lead them in the right way, and they ignore his words. They do not desire the truth. They rather choose to follow themselves or the commandments of other men. In Mark chapter 7 and in verse 7, Mark chapter 7 and looking at the verse 7, it says, but in vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of man. Teaching the commandments of men. Teaching the doctrines that other people are teaching. Not looking to the Lord. Not looking to God. And so I have to ask, first thing, if you want to be properly prepared, we have to ask that question, have you heard? Have you heard the truth? Have you opened up the Bible? Because that's the comparison he makes there in Matthew 7. He says, it is like a man who has heard. He has heard the truth. He has heard the word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17, therefore faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that you have to hear the truth. And again, it can't be your truth. It can't be my way. It can't be the commandments of other men. But it has to be the words of God. That yes, it's okay to listen to your parents unless they are not teaching you the word of God. Yes, it's okay to listen to the preacher unless I'm not teaching the words of God. That we search the scriptures, confirm the truth that is being taught with book, chapter, and verse. Just as Paul made the point that if I come back to you and I teach you anything different from what I've already taught you, if an angel comes to you and teaches you anything different than what you've already received, then let them be accursed. Have nothing to do with it. So if we want to be properly prepared, then we have to make sure that we search the scriptures, because the scriptures have everything we need in it. In 2 Timothy 3 and verses 16 and 17, 2 Timothy 3 and verses 16 in 17, they're telling us that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, or all Scripture is God's breath. It is breathed out by God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. That the man of God can do everything that God needs him to do. And God needs you to overcome these trials. God needs you to be faithful through these storms. God needs you to shine His light. And we can do that if we have His Word. It starts there. It starts with us opening up the Scriptures and searching them. Us searching the truth that He has given to us. And the Word of God will be our light. Psalm 119 and verse 105. Psalm 119 and verse 105. Again, here a very common verse that many here could probably sit here and quote. I always get the light and the lamp backwards, so I always like turning to it to make sure I get it correct. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The word of God is, again, going back to hearing the truth. And as we search the truth and we understand that the word is a lamp and that it is a light, that is going to help us as we go through the storm. Again, if you're prepared for a physical storm, that means you probably have flashlights in your house. And not just flashlights, but you check those batteries every now and then, because way too often do we go grab the flashlight, and batteries are dead. And then that flashlight becomes useless. It's the same thing to say, "Well, I got a Bible, I own a Bible, I have one right here," but then you've never studied it, you've never opened it up, and you don't know where anything is found, you don't know where it tells us these things. What good is the Word if we don't open it up? We don't let it shine. Word is our light. It's what leads us to Jesus, who is the true light. John chapter 8 and in verse 12. John chapter 8 and in verse 12. As it reads here, it says, "And Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is the way and the truth. Is our light. And if we are truly being prepared, then we are going to follow our Lord and Savior. He is what's going to keep us safe. Turn along with me to Matthew 14. This is probably one of my favorite stories in the New Testament, the life of Christ. Here in Matthew chapter 14 and in verse 25, here our Lord and Peter walking on the water. It says immediately, verse 25, let's jump down to verse, going up to verse 22. It says, "Immediately he made his disciples go into the boat and go ahead of him on the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And while the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It is a ghost.' They cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid.' Peter said to them, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And Peter got out to the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately he stretched out his hand, took hold of him, said to him, 'You are little faith. Why did you doubt?'" There's so much that happens in that. The fact that, one, Peter had enough faith in the Lord to step out of that boat. I mean, you think about how much faith that is. To step out, put your feet on water, and start walking around. If you were in that situation, could you do it? To have enough trust to step out. And as he's walking around, though, he took his eyes off the Lord. There's Jesus. He's walking on water, and I can only imagine he starts looking around. But when he does that, he starts to see how bad the winds are, which means how bad the waves are. And he starts to be afraid and scared, and he starts to drown. But then he also knows who can save him, so he cries out to the Lord, "Lord, save him." We see here that Jesus is the way. Whether you're talking about him being your lighthouse, and he's the one that is guiding you to make sure you know that where the rocks are, where land is, so you don't run into them. Jesus is the anchor that's going to keep you strong and still so that you do not have to move, that you're not swayed one way or the other. Jesus is our lifeboat. He's the one that is going to pull us up and out. He is what is going to save us. It is our Lord who is going to save us. Are you prepared for the storm? Christ is the way. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 21. As it reads here, it says, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example for you to follow his steps." Are we following the Lord? Are you truly prepared for the storm that you're going to go through? Again, Matthew 7:24, he acted upon those words. He built his house upon the rock, and as the kids' songs go, build your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your house on the Lord, and it will stand firm, and the blessings will come down. And so we ask you that question, have you obeyed? Because Jesus is the author of the salvation to all who obey him. We've been bringing it out throughout this lesson. Have you heard the word of God? And it's not enough to just hear it, but you must believe it. Hebrews 11, verse 6 tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And then after you have that faith, you must be willing to confess that faith and repent of your sins. And repenting, Acts 2 and verse 38, where it tells them to repent, every one of you, and be baptized for the remission of sins. They were to confess their faith in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe God in your heart that he has raised them from the dead, you will be saved. And they were to be baptized. They were to wash their sins away. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 20, it talks about how Noah and his children and his family were saved by water. And so in verse 21, it says there is a like figure. There is the baptism, which is just like it. Baptism now saves. Not the removal of flesh, filth of the flesh, but the answer of a clear conscience. And so we can be saved. We can be prepared. But understand, that's not the end of the journey. That's getting us prepared, and we have to continue to be prepared. And that means you must remain faithful till death in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, because there it says, "Behold, Satan, behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison that you may be tried and have tribulation." Again, we're warned time and again that Satan is out there seeking to devour us, seeing who it is he can cause to fall. But it says, "Be faithful till death, and I will give you the crown of life." I know Ephesians chapter 6 really doesn't have to deal with storms, but again, tells us that we have to face Satan, the principalities of this world. And so it tells us to put on the armor of God. But again, if we don't put on the armor of God, then you're not prepared. There's a reason that he's given us the belt. There's a reason that you have the breastplate. There's a reason that you're supposed to shod your feet. There's a reason that you carry a shield. There's a reason that he's given us a sword and a helmet. Because if we don't carry these things, then when Satan comes at us, then we will not stand. So we need to make sure that we continue to fight the good fight, continue to put on the armor of God so that we will be ready when that storm comes. And so we want to encourage anyone who is here this evening, who has not obeyed the gospel, who has not been baptized and put Christ on, to do that tonight, to know that you are ready to face whatever storm that may come at you, because Jesus will be on your side. You will be in the Lord from this day forward. And again, if you have obeyed the gospel already and you need the help of the brethren to continue to fight that good fight, let us be there for you. Let us know what it is we can do for you as we stand and sing.